The Book Nook on WYSO was presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from Wright Memorial Public Library, Clark County Public Library, Tipp City Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, and Washington Centerville Public Library.
Good morning. Welcome to the Best of the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. Back in 1997, I did my only interview with a woman named Joan Brady. She had published a book called God on a Harley. That was her first book. It was a huge bestseller. It went on to be turned into a major motion picture. And when she came through Dayton, Ohio, back in 1997, she had written a sequel called Heaven in High Gear. And Joan was a former nurse. She had left nursing and decided to become a writer. And like many writers, she faced a lot of rejection. Things got pretty desperate, as she explains during this interview. And wow, we really had fun that day back in 1997. Let's listen now to Joan Brady talking about God on a Harley and Heaven in High Gear. We call it the Best of the Book Nook.
It's my pleasure to welcome to the program Joan Brady, the author of the bestseller God on a Harley. She has a new book out called Heaven in High Gear. How you doing, Joan?
Hi, Vic. I'm great, thanks.
Joan, I understand that you're a recovery nurse.
I am, among other things. I am recovering from the nursing profession, 22 years as a registered nurse. And I would love to say that I love the profession. I will always love and respect my profession. But what has happened to it with healthcare and HMOs, the whole system today, really is what made me leave it. I just couldn't do it anymore after 22 years.
Too much paperwork? Too much supervision?
Too much supervision, too much paperwork, but also it has just gotten to the point where there was a time when nursing was all about being a nurturer and being compassionate and taking time and listening to patients and examining patients and establishing a rapport. And with the advent of HMOs and the way the healthcare system is today, those things are not considered important or reimbursable by insurance companies. And I just felt that I couldn't do it anymore. My heart just wasn't in it because I had to become a taskmaster as opposed to a nurturer.
No more of this, you're going to stay here till you feel better.
Right, no.
Yeah, it's almost a factory-like operation.
It really is. It's like a conveyor belt. You only get so many days for each diagnosis, and then you're out of the hospital unless they can come up with a secondary diagnosis. There's absolutely nothing involved with being an individual or being unique. You know, you have to fit a pattern.
Joan, you have enjoyed tremendous success with the book God on a Harley. For those of our listeners who are not aware of this phenomenon, why don't you give us some background on how you came to write this book and what happened?
Oh, I would love to. That's one of my favorite stories. I wrote the book God on a Harley because at the time I was working as a registered nurse, and I never had a belief in God myself for all of my life. And one of the things I noticed when I worked with my patients was that the patients who believe in God or a higher power always got better faster, or if they didn't, they just had a better experience. They were more serene, more tranquil with their disease. And I used to look at that and wish that I had whatever that was that they had, but I didn't. And so I was really shut down about the whole subject of God. And one day I was thinking about how much I wanted to believe in God, and I thought, well, if I were God and I were trying to get to me, how would I do it? Because I was so shut down. So I thought, well, if God were really smart, he'd come to me as a really good-looking guy, and he'd ride a Harley. So I thought, wow, that's a great idea. So I started writing this little fantasy just to make myself feel better because I did not believe in God. And By the time I finished writing this fantasy about a burned-out nurse from New Jersey who meets this gorgeous guy on a Harley Davidson who turns out to be God, by the end of the book, I actually had a very good relationship with what I call my higher power. I really felt a presence of a higher power in my life by writing this book.
Now, was your disgruntlement with belief systems and believing in God a byproduct of your Catholic upbringing?
It was. That's exactly what it was. I went to parochial school for all of my life and was raised in a very strict Catholic family. Now, I have six brothers and sisters who had the exact same experience, but you would never know it. They're very well adjusted, and Catholicism works very nicely for them. But I was the problem child. I was always the rebel. I never could accept a lot of things about Catholicism, one of which was original sin. I had a real problem believing that little babies were born guilty with sin on their soul. And I was unfortunate enough to have the experience of certain teachers, nuns, who, when I asked these very innocent questions, not only didn't answer me, but I would get slapped in the face for asking the question. So I learned very early on that God was something to be feared, certainly. And so I spent my life really fearing God. I mean, my perception of God was based solely on fear. But as I got older, I really was searching for that presence, that loving presence that I saw other people believing in. And it was just a big empty hole in my heart until, as I said, until I wrote God on a Harley, and then I just blossomed.
I am also a product of parochial schools, and I got a lot out of them. They were a little weak on science and math, but good on history and
yes.
literature, which I appreciated because I liked those better anyway. But then we did have a nun who rewarded insolence with a well-aimed piece of chalk right in the face. And of course, these are different times when you could have
right.
corporal punishment.
Yes.
I'm not going to say how old I am, but I'm old enough to remember those days. Joan, you're really pushing the envelope pretty hard on this book. When I read it, I haven't read God on a Harley, but I read Heaven in High Gear, and your protagonist is a stripper.
Yes.
And she is visiting New Jersey, which you're very familiar with, where mm-hmm. she grew up, but she's a stripper in La La Land, Los Angeles, and she, I don't know how much you want to say about the book, she meets God
mm-hmm.
in the book.
Yeah, we can say that.
And it's a very enlightening book. There's a lot of inspiration there. What are you trying to accomplish with these books?
Well, what I'm trying to accomplish is an extension of my nursing career, basically. I want to write nurturing, healing books that people relate to, that people get comfort from. And from the looks of the mail that I get from all around the world, God on a Harley is now in 14 languages. I get mail from people who say, how did you know that? That you wrote my story. How did you know my life? And I love hearing that. So I just write the books because I try to pick problems that I know a lot of people have and find very simple ways to solve them, or just simple loving ways to look at these problems and change lives, hopefully.
Well, your stripper in Heaven in High Gear is the ultimate skeptic.
Yes.
She really doesn't trust men, and she really doesn't trust a lot of people. She thinks that everybody has an ulterior motive, and I imagine in that profession it would be easy to be that way, to be hardened and to really not be able to get close to people. Why did you pick a stripper?
Well, for exactly the reasons you just mentioned, because she's hardcore and cynical and not open, not receptive to change at all. And though I've never been a stripper, I can really relate to her. She is more me than the original character in my first book. I was very much the same way, very cynical. I've always had a hard time trusting men because of relationships that I've had in the past. In the book, Heather is from a very dysfunctional family, an alcoholic family. Now, I'm not from an alcoholic family, but a lot of her issues are my issues, most of which were issues about self-esteem and about following your dream. I mean, in the book, Heather has a dream, but it's so old, and she tucked it away so deep that she doesn't even remember what it is. And I am fortunate enough to be someone who's living my dream right now of being an author. And so that was a subject I really wanted to explore. I wanted to have a happy ending about someone who has a dream and gets to live it finally in the end.
I loved Heather's theory about all women used to be men. I thought that
in
was
in a former life, yeah. She said that's why women tolerate men, because it's sort of the way when you become an adult, all adults were children at one time, and that's why adults can be patient with children. So we think that she thinks that maybe all women were men in a former life, and that's why we tolerate them. But she loves them in the end, I must say.
My guest is Joan Brady, and she has written a book called Heaven in High Gear. Joan is the author of God on a Harley, originally published in 1995. The hardcover and paperbacks so far have sold over 300,000 copies. I would be remiss in neglecting the fact that God on a Harley will be coming to movie theaters.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's really exciting for me. I wrote God on a Harley 6 years before it was published. It was rejected by everyone for 6 years. And I just really believed in it. I knew that it was really good, and I just was not going to give up on it. So about 3 years ago, I packed my car. I was living in New Jersey. And I pointed it west, and I ended up in San Diego, California, where I live now. And I was unemployed and didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew that I was through with the nursing profession. And like magic, I took my manuscript, got on a Harley, and I decided I'm going to try one more time. And I sent it to an agent, and the agent called me back immediately and said, and this is exactly what you said, Joan Brady, where have you been? And I was just astounded, because I had been everywhere begging people to look at my work, and no one wanted to know me. And so she said, I can sell this. And within 3 days, she sold this manuscript for $250,000 in advance. And it has just been magic ever since then. So shortly after that, the movie producers started contacting us. And the producer is Mimi Polk-Gitlin, who was the producer of the movie Thelma and Louise. So they're writing the script now in Hollywood, and I get to go up there a lot and be a creative consultant. And it's just the most amazing thing, because I go to Hollywood, and I'm up in the Hollywood Hills at the producer's house, and I look down on that big Hollywood sign on the hill, and I have to laugh, because about 5 years ago, I worked 5 miles down the road at one of the hospitals there, cleaning bedpans and crying and whining about my life. And now I'm up on top of the Hollywood sign writing screenplays. So, I mean, it's just been a miracle in my life. It's been the most magnificent experience.
Sounds like Cedars-Sinai to me.
UCLA.
Oh, okay. You were in Westwood.
Yes.
A guardian agent took care of you.
Good.
I imagine this person is still your agent.
She is not only my agent, she is my best friend. I love her.
I guess this is another story. We hear them often on this program, of people being persistent and believing in their work, and the things have been relegated to the slush piles in all of these different publishing houses. And now these people that you sent the manuscript to all those years ago are kicking themselves, aren't
they? Yeah. And you know what's interesting? A lot of movie producers have contacted me and said, do you have anything that you wrote like maybe 10 years ago? And it really makes me laugh because 10 years ago, I was begging people to look at my work and nobody wanted to know me. And now, you know, all of a sudden, one man's trash is another man's treasure. You know, now they think it's all worth so much. So go figure.
Wow, talk about validation and vindication in the same fell swoop. That's very impressive. Joan Brady is my guest, and her new book is Heaven in High Gear. I don't know how much you want to give away about this book. Do you feel like talking about the seven things?
I can do that, sure. I don't mind giving it away.
You don't mind saying?
Not at all.
I believe you had those listed in the back, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it's 157, page 157.
Very good.
I know.
I'm so glad that...
But I have another little story I'd love to tell you about how this happened. 15 years ago, when I was working at a hospital in Los Angeles, I walked into my patient's room. Now, this is before I ever wrote anything that got published. And who do you think is standing at the bedside but Regis Philbin?
Oh.
And
whoa.
And at the time, it turns out my patient was his son, but I didn't know that. His son had neglected to tell me who his father was. So at the time, I was really burned out in nursing, and I used to dress like a visitor so nobody would bother me. I would like wear white jeans and high-top sneakers so nobody would bug me and put my name tag on backwards and things. And so Regis Philbin was standing there when I walked in, and he took one look at me and he said, "Are you a nurse?" And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "You don't look like a nurse. You look like a surfer." And so I said, "Well, Reg, that's because deep in my heart, I'm an artist, and this is how an artist dresses. I'm not really a nurse, I'm an artist, and someday I'm going to write the great American novel." And Regis Philbin said to me, "Well, when you do..."
Come on my show.
He said, "You give me a call," and he wrote his phone number down on a corner of the LA Times and tore it off and gave it to me. And so I still have it, and I held on to that. And so many years later, about, I guess, 12 years later, I got on a Harley published. And I wrote Regis a letter, and I said, "I know you won't remember me, but I met you 12 years ago, and, you know, all this, and here's my book. I really did it." And the next thing I know, my phone rings in the morning, and Regis Philbin is on the telephone, and he says, "I certainly do remember you. And tune into tomorrow's show because I just taped it and I gave your book a nice plug."
Huh.
And he really did. The next day, I had the whole world tuning in and taping it. And the sales quadrupled for God on a Harley after he did that. So the lesson I learned from that, besides persistence, is this, that I was exactly where I needed to be. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're feeling, whatever terrible things are happening in your life, it's happening for a reason. It takes you to a better place. And 15 years ago when that happened, I was whining and crying and saying, "Oh, why can't I get published? And why am I still cleaning bedpans?" And I was exactly where I needed to be to make my life so magical the way it is today.
You espouse a number of universal truths in the book, one of which I think of often, and that is stop living in the past. Yeah. Live today, live in the present, enjoy today. The past is over, and mm-hmm. you can't change it, and maybe it left some scars, but you got to go forward. You got to keep living.
Yeah, that's a real important one for me too. And I can think of so many examples of it in my life, but living in the present moment is probably the most important change that I have made over the years. And my favorite example of it is before my first book got published, and I was really broke and unemployed and I didn't know what I was going to do. And I went to the San Diego Boat Show, which is these beautiful yachts that are, you know, there to be demonstrated. And I got on this beautiful yacht, and I was walking around, and I didn't have enough money to eat dinner that night, but I went to this boat show, and it just so happens that the owner of the yacht was standing there too. And it occurred to me that in this present moment, I own this yacht, because he's the owner standing right next to me. All he has is a piece of paper that says he owns it. But we're both standing here in San Diego Harbor with this beautiful sunset on this gorgeous yacht. And so if I stay in this exact moment, I am a rich woman. And I really started looking at my life that way, and it really made a tremendous difference when I changed my perception like that. And then the abundance just flowed into my life when I started looking at life that way. More and more things began coming to me.
I have located the personal commandments for Heather, and if it's okay, I'll read them.
Sure.
They're very brief. There are 7 of them, and these are from the book, Heaven in High Gear. Number 1, pain and panic are your friends trying to show you a better way. Number 2, look only for the good in people, and that's exactly what you'll find. Number 3, let go of the past to make room for the future. Number 4, history is not irreversible. Number 5, graciously embrace what is rightfully yours. Number 6, balance is the key to a fulfilled life. And finally, number 7, believe in your many talents. I'm sure there are listeners out there saying, those make sense.
Well, I know they're very simple, and some people think that they're too simplistic at times, but I think it's the simple things in life that are the hardest to do. And I feel very strongly about my books that I will always keep my books simple and short because that's the way I like them. And also, I feel strongly about keeping my books so that even a child could read them without being offended. There are no four-letter words, and there is no sex or violence. And as far as I'm concerned, there never will be. I'm really proud of them, and I really like it that way. I'm a simple person.
Well, I found the book to be uplifting.
Thank you.
And I know you've been described as a writer who writes for women, but I can see a lot of things here that would be insightful for men.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you said that, Vic, because I find that a little bit offensive that people say I write for women, because when a book speaks a truth, hopefully it crosses both all gender boundaries. I mean, good is good, truth is truth. And I think there are just as many men seeking the truth as there are women. I don't think there's any shortage of that. So thank you for saying that.
But I do admit that women are much better at expressing their feelings. I don't know why that is.
It's our job. It's our job.
Something about our
brains. We were men in a former life.
That's it. Something about our brains developing the way they developed. I don't know. I'm embarrassed by that. Joan, you describe yourself as arriving in San Diego, and you'd quit your job, and it sounds like you weren't doing that well as far as your finances and things like that. Suddenly, this guardian agent gives you $250,000 for your book. How has your life changed from that time?
Well, after I got over the initial shock of the amount of money, first of all, when she told me that, for the longest time, I couldn't spend money. I had a girlfriend who used to take me to Nordstrom's and say, now, Joan, just take 3 deep breaths and be brave and keep shopping. And I couldn't do it. I could not bear to spend money because I was so used to just being absolutely poverty-stricken at the time for, you know, quite a while. Well, quite a while, 6 months, I absolutely had no money, and my sister was sending me all the money she could every month to keep me going. So I had to get over the initial shock. I was really afraid to spend money at first. But then I sort of got used to it, and then my biggest problem was, what do you do with a check for $250,000? I don't know. I never had this problem before. Do you put it in your checking account? I don't know. I really was really petrified. I thought, gee, that doesn't sound right. But I overcame this problem. I found answers. So.
Well, I would have gone to my nearest convenience store and gone up to the counter and tried to cash it just, you know, just
oh,
for
good.
Fun.
Okay, good.
In fact, I probably would have gone all over and done that everywhere just to get a little reaction. I'm Vic McCunis, and Joan Brady is my guest, and her new book is Heaven in High Gear. It is the follow-up to the phenomenal bestseller God on a Harley. Joan, you mentioned how you came up with the initial idea. How did you come up with the idea for this second book?
It wasn't hard. It just followed. I knew that at the end of God on a Harley, I knew how that ended with God leaving the main character and going on to another person. So I just had to think of that other person. And again, I just really had to dive a little deeper into myself and find another piece of myself that needed to be written about and problems and issues that I needed to explore. So it was really just about going inside myself. Now, I did do some research because, like I said, I've never been a stripper. So I had to go to some strip joints to make it sound realistic. And that was a real eye-opening experience. And what I learned was that the women in these places were just great. They were just open and receptive and helpful and not at all what I had expected. So it was a great experience for me. I'm working on another one in this series because I've done two women so far. So I'd like to do the next one about a man and a man's issues. And I think what I'm going to do is use a police officer, a male police officer, for my next main character.
And that was Joan Brady on the Best of the Book Nook. You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, connecting our community through news, music, and storytelling on the air and online. And you're probably thinking to yourself, man, Vic, your voice is weird during that interview. In fact, your voice is still weird, but a different kind of weird because, well, that first interview, I sound like I'm in a tunnel because it's an old cassette. She sounds great. I sound like I'm in a tunnel, but it's kind of a neat effect, I think. And my voice is still kind of impaired because I'm just getting over a bug, and I haven't gotten my voice back completely, but it's hard to shut me up. So here I am. And Joan Brady was really a fun interview. She had that bestseller with God on a Harley, and then she came through Dayton with her sequel, Heaven in High Gear. And it was so fun to hear how she had gotten so desperate. Her sister was sending her money to keep her afloat. She had gone from being a registered nurse to cleaning bedpans. No one was interested in her manuscript to a book that became a bestseller. And then everything changed. And suddenly, she had a check for $250,000. And she didn't know what to do with it. And as I suggested during that interview, I said, well, I would have walked into convenience stores with it and said, can I cash this just for fun? Because that's how I am. I'm just kind of a silly guy. And we cut off that interview sort of abruptly at the end because that was all we had. That was it. So thanks for listening to the Best of the Book Nook. Once again, that was Joan Brady. And my name is Vic McCunis.